Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome in, everyone, to Morning Invest on this Friday, the 19th of November. This is like Thanksgiving Eve, kind of. Well, it's like, I think the holidays kind of start this weekend.
What?
Yeah, that's kind of what I feel like.
Okay, then I got a chore list for you a mile long, if that's what you think.
I mean, never mind. Holidays don't start until December 15th. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome into the show. We've got some big news on the stimulus front this morning. We could see a vote today. We also had a massive delay overnight thanks to Republicans. And we've got new Congressional Budget Office numbers out today that shows whether or not we will be able to actually pay for said stimulus bill.
Meanwhile, we're going ahead with defense budget increases. Congress just slipped that one in while we're looking over here at the stimulus bill. That happened. So a lot of spending happened and we don't really know about it, but we do want to talk about it right here and right now.
And do spouses cheat on one another, not physically or with other people, but rather financially? How many of you watching right now have lied about your finances to a significant other, or you've kept something hidden? We're going to tell you the unbelievable numbers about financial cheating as Morning Invest starts right now on this Friday.
That wasn't as fun as David's little singing yesterday, but we got through it.
Well, the audio is, we're still dealing with the audio. So again, I apologize if you're listening to the audio version, the podcast version of this. Our audio board got fried, so we are doing our darndest to bring you a show as the new audio board has been ordered. So hopefully by early next week, we'll have it remedied for you.
But we will actually wrap up this show. We're here. We have news. We're excited. We're fired up about it.
Yeah, I have breaking news.
We
have breaking news. We have breaking news this morning on the stimulus. That is right. A $490 billion stimulus has just been approved, and they are sending out checks to people in the mailbox and to small businesses in Japan.
Yes.
In the United States. We're nothing right now.
Not yet. No. You might remember Japan, some Democrats were holding...
Exactly. Japan took care of its people during the lockdown.
Yes. Japan stepped up, and the Japanese government approved that. And meanwhile, the United States government is still working out the Build Back Better social stimulus. You may remember, this is the human stimulus as opposed to the infrastructure stimulus, which already happened earlier this week. This is the one that will give us child tax credits, preschool, paid parental leave, although a teeny, teeny, tiny bit. So some Democrats and Republicans were holding out on this vote because they wanted numbers out of the Congressional Budget Office. The Democratic Party line has been, this will not increase inflation. It will not increase the national debt. Wait till the CBO or the bipartisan Congressional Budget Office gives us their numbers. You'll see. Okay, those numbers came in today. I was shocked that it was no headline around like Wall Street Journal, New York Times. The headlines were that the House is ready to vote and it's going to pass. Mm-hmm. The CBO numbers, which we have been hanging on all week, did come in and it's like teeny tiny paragraph in the news because they're not great. The CBO estimate tells us that the national deficit, that means the amount of debt on the United States federal budget, will increase by $367 billion between next year and 2031. Now, remember, Democrats promised us this would not happen. Still, the House is ready to vote this through, making those numbers no more than just a speed bump, basically. So it does not account for any increased IRS tax revenue. Recall that we already approved that $80 billion will go to the IRS to increase policing of tax dodgers. Not really new tax laws, it's just new tax police. Their estimate is that IRS policing will increase revenues, but only by $207 billion. So if those numbers are correct, it will increase national deficit by $367 billion, maybe give us back $207 billion, which still, even at the best case scenarios, will result in a net increase in national defense by $160 billion. If all of this exists in a vacuum, which of course an economy does not.
Right. You know, so Art Laffer was a member of the Reagan administration, and there's something called what's known as the Laffer curve, and it's been used as like a tactic by the White House and members of Congress for years. This idea that okay, that's what the CBO tells us, but you're not taking into account all of the growth that we will get as a result of this spending, and therefore millions more people will spend money and it will pay for itself because you're forgetting about the Art Laffer curve. So all of this additional money will be there and it will just take care of itself. So you don't have to worry about
it. But by some estimates, it will indeed cost even the average family $10,000 over the course of this.
How so?
There's all sorts of numbers in increased payroll taxes, increased taxes in just, you know, little by little, the net line by some economists, our friend Tom Wheelwright being one of them, that over the course of this period, it will cost even the average family $10,000 per person, per American.
And meanwhile, millionaires got tax breaks.
And so what will it do? It will make the people who are making around $500,000 invest their money more, right? And so what are they going to buy it is Amazon stock, Walmart stock, right? So Amazon, Walmart, like the stock market's going to be fine because people will be more incentivized to invest their money, right? In things the government wants them to, or funnel it through taxable accounts or non-taxable accounts like IRAs and 401ks, right? But actually the people who need it the most, and we're pretending that we care with this legislation about the poorest population, right, may get a little bit more or get a tax break, but they're not getting any financial education like Tom Wheelwright points out. It's like, you know, giving someone who's hungry a candy bar. Like, here's something once. That's not a revenue stream. We've not helped in any sustainable way. And even if they did community college, it would be like repeating high school. That's not true education. It's a PR move. It's not really for anybody.
I was thinking about the amount of government spending that has, you know, Reagan and Margaret Thatcher were famously supposed to be, you know, pull back on the size of government, right? We're going to reduce the amount of spending, and it never happened. Since Reagan, the size of government spending has increased at least 1% a year, every year, regardless of if it's a Democrat or Republican. The same thing is true in Europe. Even though the Eurozone crisis, we had a little bit of a pullback in Germany for a short time after they had a bailout Greece, still government spending took off. So what we see worldwide is just government spending that just continues. And during the pandemic, it wasn't 1%. Mm-hmm. It was 10% increase in the amount of spending. So what does that say? It means that the U.S. dollar, it means that government currencies are just on an absolute decline.
Yes.
And so the value of any of these government currencies is going into the toilet. And so we can continue to print money. What is the value then of dollars for people? Do people watching right now then care about the amount of government spending?
Well, if we factor in how certain taxes will be, or in certain wages will be taxed more, if we factor in certain local taxes that will go up, if we factor in... You take it. I just had what I was going to say.
David, you take it.
I was just going to say, like, it would be one thing if people were educated, because there's nobody to break this down for anybody. Nobody educates us on what any of this means. There's no journalists anymore that take all this stuff and break it down into the human language. And it's like we just have to wait until a check shows up in our bank account to know that they've even done anything.
Right. I'm sorry. It was inflation. I wanted to talk about the resulting inflation of an increased national debt, right? This will affect every American family. To the tune of, like I said, by some economists, $10,000 per person. So that's $40,000 per family. So you are saying that with these like little peanuts that's in the Build Back Better plan, the average American family couldn't do better with that $40,000 that they may otherwise keep.
Right. It's an ultimate question, you know, should we just not pay enough in taxes? Should we just keep, instead of all of this tax revenue that's going to the federal government that we're spending on wars and other things, you know, would we be better off if Americans held on to more of that money? The problem is there's so many Americans for whom they don't even hardly pay taxes anyway, and they're on the margins. You know, the unbanked Americans who don't even have access to a bank account, they don't pay any taxes. And so they're, you know, either homeless or food insecure. And so what do we do about them? And America has a massive problem when it comes to this. All I'm saying is when you look at like the 30,000 foot view of all of this, I just don't think we have, like, should we care anymore about what the government is spending? It's all a joke. All I'm saying is for 40 years, we keep saying, you know, we're going to bankrupt our future generations of our children. But that has gone out the window a long time ago. That ship has sailed. We're at $28 trillion in debt. All of these countries around the world are in that same position. Like only New Zealand has been smart financially. Every other country in the world.
Singapore. Georgia. Some South American countries.
By much. They still have increased government spending. The only one that has actually pulled back is New Zealand.
Singapore. One thing. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
It would be one thing if they, you know, every time they argue about all this spending, if they argued the same about war, about giving these bailouts and stuff to these big companies that mess up, you know, but they never, like, that never is in question. We can spend the money on that. They only argue about it, and it's only a problem when it's stuff to benefit us.
Right. You'll recall that President Biden, with his 2022 budget proposal, asked for a 15% increase in military spending, which amounts to $753 billion budget just for next year, right? So Build Back Better is, what's the total on that? $1.something trillion?
Yeah, like $1.75 trillion.
It's in the low,
trillion.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's for over the span of 10 years. We're asking just for next year alone. No, I mean, that's a done deal. Like, he asked for it, you got it. Toyota.
That's just the military budget that we know about. There's other things that are going to Lockheed, you know, all these other war contractors. It's got to be the tune of like $1 trillion. It has to be.
But no one's arguing about that. And we're going to get there in a second, because that's a story I want to talk about in a second on this defense bill. But first, I want to show you what happened. There was drama on the House floor last night, and Kevin McCarthy, who is the House Minority Leader, stood up and, in order to block the vote on the Build Back Better plan, decided to filibuster for 8 hours, an 8-hour filibuster that blocked the vote. So Democrats had to delay this. At one point during it, he was heckled by Democrats, and they had to call order on the House floor in order to get back order. Listen to what happened last night.
Hey, about the president's Build Back Better plan.
You know what Americans you're going after? One half of those 1.2 million are people who earn $75,000 or less. That's what you're trying to pay this bill from. House is not in order, Mr. Speaker.
House will be in order.
Then as Americans, we're supposed to expect less. I can look anywhere I want, Mr. Speaker. I cannot believe the amount of control one party rule wants. They now want to dictate to a member of the floor of where I can look.
Being told that he has to look over here, not over there. I mean, it was testy last night. In the end, though, there's going to be a vote likely today on this Build Back Better plan.
You know, he ended at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Eastern time.
Yeah.
He took the floor last night and just went around the horn.
And these Republicans stayed there with him too.
Yeah.
So
maybe he just didn't want to wear a mask. Because if you stand at the microphone, you can wear your mask.
Well, look over his shoulder, you know, like he had people that, there were people sitting behind, they're like, I'm not wearing a mask.
You know, yeah. I think we should stop calling them Republicans and Democrats and just call them politicians from now on. Because what's the difference really? What ends up happening, what is the difference?
But he's not wrong when it comes to budgetary concerns, we brought up earlier, right? Like, let's not pretend that Republicans, you know, really feel like this is I mean, I don't know what they feel. I'm not going to pretend at all. But he's not wrong in the fact that this will cost everybody. And this company line that like, oh, no, just the 400,000 people per year and more, that's all that are going to feel it, is wrong. It's a lie.
Well, I just, you know, look, yeah, it's a lie because I love the subjective choice of what they choose to be outraged about, right? Selective outrage. We're outraged at the Build Back Better plan that's going to provide $3,600 child tax credits to families and going to help with elder care and hearing and vision and Medicaid expansion and things like that and Obamacare expansion. We're outraged about that. But when it comes to a war budget, there is absolutely no outrage at all. So let's talk about this because yesterday the Senate, I mean, I love all this, right? So while all of this is going on, while this whole debate over the Build Back Better plan is happening, the Senate has quietly basically just advanced the defense spending bill after Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer have reached a deal on China-specific legislation, which would basically beef up our focus on going after China. I mean, it's absolutely remarkable. Politico piece, the Senate advanced its annual defense policy bill late Wednesday after Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi clinched a deal on separate legislation aimed at boosting U.S. competition with China. Great. The agreement comes after Senate Republicans and some House Democrats objected to Schumer's push to unilaterally attach the China legislation to the must-pass defense bill, creating an impasse that halted the Senate's already delayed action on the National Defense Authorization Act. But let's be clear. Not by much. Look, the Senate voted 84-15 to start the debate on the defense bill. So they're going to have a huge battle over the Build Back Better plan to, you know, you want to argue the ins and outs of it, which would arguably help Americans. There's going to be massive debate. No Republicans will vote for it. We're getting Congressional Budget Office scores on it. But the defense bill, which now we're rolling in China, opposition language into the defense spending bill, like this is what we're now doing. Now we're focused on anytime we want to just spend money on the military, there's no debate, there's no dissent, few people kind of voice concern, and that's it. There's a few people that voice concern, like Bernie Sanders, who couldn't believe, he calls it hypocrisy, that we're even having this debate right now. He said this about this defense bill.
Well, I'm going to be on the floor of the Senate in a bit. And Chris, you stole my speech. That's exactly the point I'm going to be making. The hypocrisy is extraordinary. When we want to improve lives for our children, for the elderly, when we want to make healthcare universal and affordable, when we want to deal with climate, oh my God, Bernie, don't you understand we have a terrible national debt in the deficit? But when it comes to military spending, really, the military-industrial complex, in a bipartisan way, always gets what they want. And what we're talking about now is a budget that is $35 billion more than President Trump's budget, $25 billion more than what President Biden requested. And you're giving it, Chris, to an agency, the Department of Defense, which is the only major federal agency that has never been successfully audited to account for what it does with its money. And
think about that.
Well, he just said something out loud, too, that a lot of people don't know. He said that's the only federal agency that's never been, proving that the Federal Reserve is not a federal agency, and they've never been audited either.
Oh, yeah. And now the Federal Reserve wants to maybe increase things that it's going to do for the poor. It's going to start to dictate, you know, deeper domestic policy. So the Federal Reserve just gets this runaway unilateral, you know, control. But on top of that, the military industrial complex has unbelievable access to this money, getting $35 billion more than they were able to get or even asked for.
Mm-hmm. Why? Who gave them that raise?
Congress.
You don't ask for it, but here's some extra money.
Right.
Well, and so that's the whole point. It's like they're like, hey, we've got $750 billion, and somebody's just like, ah, let's just throw them another $35 billion. What the heck? You know, it's not our money.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think that, you know, again, the skeptic in me thinks, well, okay, how about we create a fight out of nothing over these, like – these two legislators, the infrastructure bill and the Build Back Better bill, feel as though they are really good decoys for what Congress really wants to put its spending behind, which is military packages, right? I mean, this is insane. And it feels like we sort of all play into it because it's like, okay, we're really worried about these fights. They're red herrings. They're red. What is the word that I'm looking for? It's like a fight to distract. And, you know, these are our tax dollars. And these are the things like we are all calling our representatives, presumably, to say what we think about Build Back Better or the infrastructure bill, right? But the military spending, they don't have to deal with. They can do it without cameras on them. It's really just so discouraging. And
what really bothers me also is the way that they name these bills, because they call these things like Build Back Better or the Patriot Act or something. So that if you speak out against it and you are critical of it, they're like, oh, what? You don't want this to be better? You're against helping the People's Act, the CARES Act? You're against that?
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, that's why, you know, the sort of PR around the Obamacare. I think that was Frank Luntz, the Republican strategist who did all of those public opinion surveys. Yeah. He came up with the idea of Obamacare because the Republicans could not fight Affordable Care Act because it's something they don't want, right? No politician wants Affordable Care because they get so much money from Big Pharma. They want unaffordable care so that they stay in power, but they could not argue against affordable care, so they gave it the nomenclature of Obamacare so that it sounded like some socialist whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? So crazy. Well, why don't I tell you about our show sponsor over at CrowdHealth, and then we will move on. We have pet photos later today. We have what's trending, and we also have another story about how many of you have told a financial fib to your significant other. And we're going to put a spotlight on Clayton and see what he has done. So he's looking forward to that. But first, we'd like to tell you about our show sponsor at CrowdHealth. It's perfect time to talk about that because we are just talking about how profitable our terrible healthcare system is for the powers that be, for pharma, for insurance, for medical care companies. Well, CrowdHealth is a company that aimed to end that. What they do is help you invest in a crowd fund that you control. So you pay a monthly premium. That doesn't go away. It's not an estimate or a portion of what your medical bills will be. It actually goes to pay for your medical bills. A lot like a flex spending account. You put your premium in your account. Your premium and your account balance increases every month. Then when you go to the doctor, you are then paying cash prices instead of inflated insurance prices, and you pay out of the money that you've already been saving. Now, what happens when you've depleted that amount and you need a bit more for your medical care of the year? Well, you are then put into the crowd fund where you help one another. This is a modern way to pay for expenses, and I think it's brilliant. It empowers you to get the lowest prices for care. Like I said, instead of this sort of inflated number, you can start or stop whenever you want. There's no open enrollment plan. You can use your app and find any doctor or in the country with a qualified ranking score. You scan your bills and then you throw them away. You don't have to keep them in shoeboxes and wonder what's going to happen and wonder if you're going to get, you know, some kind of expense denied that you thought was a part of your coverage. CrowdHealth is able to offer these amazing prices because of this community of health conscious members who know that health insurance is a scam. So they have an amazing offer just for listeners of the show. You can get your first 6 months of CrowdHealth membership for just $99 per month. Now, remember, that's $99 that goes into your account. That's a savings of almost 50% off the standard pricing and a heck of a lot more than those crappy high deductible plans. So go to crowdhealth.com/99, enter the code INVEST. Remember, you're getting $99 per month premiums with the code INVEST. Join crowdhealth.com/99, promo code INVEST. Remember, this is not health insurance. It's community-powered alternative, and terms and conditions may apply. So take control over your health care with CrowdHealth.
Yes, indeed. All right, our thanks to CrowdHealth for that. All right, Let's talk about trying to get access to the approval procedures for some of these vaccines that we've been taking in the United States, Pfizer specifically. What does that look like to try to get access to? How was this? How did the FDA actually go about approving this entire thing to begin with? How did they? How did they go through the hundreds of thousands of pages of documents to fast track this and make sure that it's safe and efficacious for Americans?
Well, turns out that's in the courts.
Yeah, it's right. It's in the courts already because journalists have tried to put in Freedom of Information Act requests to find out what did the FDA do to approve this thing so quickly. And these Freedom of Information Act requests are basically hitting a big brick wall.
So actually, it's not just journalists. It's doctors from Harvard, Yale, Brown have requested documentation for how the FDA actually approved the Pfizer vaccine. Pfizer is saying, and Pfizer, now in this case, the FDA is being represented by the Justice Department. Now that in and of itself gave me pause. Why is the Justice Department representing the FDA in this case, right?
Oh, why?
Because the FDA is saying, okay, we will give you this information because it was requested under the Freedom of Information Act, but we need until 2076 to comply with this. That is 55 years. So they are saying, okay, we'll give you this information, but they fought back against it because originally the plaintiffs in this case, these groups of doctors who just wanted to see what right. was the evidence that you used to fast track this approval, they are saying, we want it by 2022, by March specifically. Was it March or April?
Yeah, March 2022.
That's what they're saying. That they're like, we would like those documents by this time. That gives you about 4 months. And the FDA is saying, no, we cannot. And the FDA, again, through the Justice Department. Now, the Justice Department is funded by our tax dollars, right? So the Justice Department, which represents the will of the people, mm-hmm. is pushing back and against these plaintiffs. They are representing on our tax dollars the FDA. And so that in and of itself, I think, is a bit problematic.
Right.
Because what if the FDA did something wrong?
Right.
Then our tax dollars, say, David, what you're saying?
Well, I was going to say there's also trial data that doctors are trying to get that they're blocking until 2025, which is like the studies and trials that they went through to get it approved.
Don't you think it's problematic that the FDA is like that the people are automatically paying for the legal defense of the FDA, right?
Right. I mean, I had a problem when Trump was when taxpayers were going to fund legal his legal bills
over rape accusations.
Over rape accusations. You know, yes. Like, wait a minute. William Barr, the Department of Justice, is using tax dollars to defend Trump against rape accusations. Like, my money is going to defend that. And so now my money is going to defend Pfizer in this or generally the FDA and
right.
keeping this information.
That's why I'm saying you guys have to watch Dope Sick because it's like it's so many there's so many parallels to this because it's like even when they're trying to get this information. And let's say they do find some data that was bad and they say, okay, we're going to go after the FDA. It's like the Justice Department will be like, no, you're not. We're
right.
not going to go after this. We're not going to go after these executives. We're not going to go after this company. You're going to drop it.
So then by default, the pharmaceutical companies are represented by our tax dollars. And that is problematic. Now, how would it be different, right? The FDA is a federal agency. Who then should represent the FDA? I don't know. But it gives me pause knowing that the FDA is defending Pfizer on our collective dollars. Okay, that's one thing. But what they're saying is that there are over, what is the number? 329,000 documents that we will be handing over. We only have about 10 people working for us, so we cannot give those to you at a rate of any more than just 500 pages per month. Because we need to redact some of them for trade secrets.
Yeah, the FDA says we can't simply turn over these documents. The records must be reviewed or to redact confidential business and trade secret information of Pfizer or BioNTech.
Well, and you know what? And that's BS because remember this, we also paid for the development of it.
Right. Yeah, and in those but sadly, in those government contracts that we signed with Pfizer, Moderna, and others, we basically gave away the farm. You know, if you read, and I did, went through the entire contract of Moderna, it's like Moderna basically says, you're going to pay us, we're going to take your money, taxpayers, and we may never develop a vaccine. Mm-hmm. Like they literally could have just taken the money and not done anything with it. And there would have been no legal repercussion for them to not even have tried to create a vaccine. Nothing. Zero.
Well, and what else is crazy is they also put language in there that you know, we paid to have it developed and everything. And then they put language in there that said if anybody had any adverse reaction to any of it, none of these pharmaceutical companies are liable at all for, like, we can't sue them or nothing if there's any adverse, like, and we paid for all this.
Yeah. So now they can only release, they say, 500 pages per month. And by the time they release 500 pages per month, that'll lead us up to the year 2071, right? 2071.
2075, I thought it was. But even so,
I'll be dead by then.
Yes. Yeah. And also, so will the statute of limitations on something like this, I would assume.
I mean, it's like waiting for the JFK documents. Yes. And by the way, do we think that after that period of time that they're going to release them all at that, you know, that on these scheduled intervals, at, you know, in 75 years? We were told after 75 years or after a certain number of years, we would get access to the JFK files. And then what do we see Biden do 3 weeks ago? Said, sorry, I'm not going to release them after all.
Yes.
Because there's critical state secrets that we can't release.
I find this to be very unconscionable. I'm sorry, David, please.
Yeah, no, it's okay. There's a bit of a delay. It's funny because it's like, you know, never sign a treaty with the United States.
Yeah. Good luck. I mean, hey, maybe Native Americans have been able to at least hold up some of these treaties when the U.S. government didn't want to. They were able to hold up papers that said, but this is signed by George Washington himself. And the U.S. government was like, oh, okay. They reluctantly go along with it. Oh, George Washington, first president of the United States. Okay. But only reluctantly.
I mean, trade secrets need to be redacted. And I mean, Pfizer is the one who just said that they would open up the patent to the COVID pill.
Right.
So...
But no, this is the hypocrisy of Pfizer, right? So Pfizer is going to open up the patents on the COVID pill, right, to help other countries, third world countries and so forth, get access to the COVID pill. But they're not going to do it for their vaccine. So they are going to keep that under wraps. The actual vaccine, they're not going to do anything with. And they're just going to release information regarding the actual pill. And I cannot wrap my head around it. I've watched a lot of different reporters struggle with the same question as to why. Why would you just give access to the pill but not the vaccine? Mm-hmm. Doesn't make any sense.
Are they going to give it or are they going to sell it and sell access?
Well, they're going to have, it's going to be a significantly reduced price.
Okay, there you go. Because the price is like 40 times what it costs to make. In the U.S.
No. The patent to allow other pharma companies to...
In other countries.
Yeah, yeah, like the recipe.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, hey, this is unbelievable.
When did they become
though.
Altruistic? I mean, that's...
Yeah, I'm sure they're doing it totally, without anything being handed to them on the backside of this, you know.
But the show that David is mentioning, I have not seen it, but I did read the book, and there are studies in there that the FDA...
Dope Sick.
I'm sorry, I failed to mention the title. That the FDA, when it conducted trials on these opioids, self-selected out people who had adverse reactions so that they could go with this company line that it's only 1% of people who get addicted to these opioids. Only 1%. They just kept saying this over and over again. 1%. It was written on their marketing materials, like the pens and the stationery and all of that. 1%, just 1%.
Well,
it's because they self-selected out and they were allowed to just throw people out of their trials who were getting sick from it.
Yeah, I was just like, that's something that I was just watching. I sent Clayton a video last week where it's like when you're part of these trials, you get an app, and when you go into the app and to put in your adverse reactions, you can only choose from headache, stomach ache, or whatever. But people that are having other side effects, they can't report it, and when they do, they're kicked out of the trial.
So you get like a multiple choice drop down menu.
Death, one of them.
Yeah, like like bleeding of the mouth, bleeding of the eyes. No, the only things you get to choose from are slight discomfort. diarrhea, or headache.
Headache.
Well, I'm not having any of these. What I'm having is like I can't walk. Like I feel like I'm dying on the inside.
And when you report stuff like that, you're kicked from the trial because you didn't fall under the standard or whatever.
I mean, can we, guys, just watching this show, we've got thousands of people watching this show. I mean, I know we sort of say this, like we sort of roll our eyes and we just say, oh, America. But I mean, these are the things where we need to demand a change from the people that we elect, you know, holding these leaders accountable and throwing out these bums who make all of this happen. I mean, it starts in Congress. These people are bought and sold by, you know, by these pharmaceutical companies. I mean, look at the, if you're in Arizona specifically, not, and there's all kinds of other people to blame here, but Kyrsten Sinema, we know the numbers. She managed to increase profits for the pharmaceutical companies by billions thanks to her blockage of the pharmaceutical drug description, the drug fight in this stimulus plan. That there, upwards of $500 billion in profits she secured for them, the pharmaceutical companies, because she wouldn't allow us to negotiate pharmaceutical drug prices to be lower. I mean, that one senator managed to do that. So if you're watching, you think, well, what does the power of my vote really mean? Well, if you're in Arizona, it means a lot. If you're in West Virginia, it means a heck of a lot right now.
It does.
You know? So.
Well, and we're also fighting a lot of agencies that have unelected people that we don't even know about. We got ex-lobbyists and people going from FDA into these pharmaceutical companies and getting huge salaries to work for them. It's just this big revolving door of elites that, you know, we have no control over. We don't even know what's going on over there.
Yeah. It's really sad. Hey, coming up here on the show, I want to hear from you. Drop it in the chat right now. Have you ever withheld financial information from your spouse? Like you went on a big spending spree, you didn't tell them about, you bought like boots.
You had a credit card, you didn't tell them about.
You bought an Apple. Yeah, or you have a whole bank account that you didn't even tell your spouse about or your partner about. Can you, you know, you can do it anonymously. We won't call anybody out here, but let us know in the chat if that's been you. And we'll David, you're going to kind of monitor some of this here because we're going to dive into financial cheating in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Scoremaster. Scoremaster is amazing. They've helped so many of our viewers, fix their credit score, to really help them add plus points to their credit score. Do you know that even an okay credit score can cost you $100,000 over the life of a 30-year home loan? That's why you should use Scoremaster before you apply for any loan. Scoremaster can take your credit score from okay to great fast. They do it quickly. The average user adds 61 points in 20 days or less. Recent COVID surges will keep interest rates low for probably the next year or so, which is great news. And so adding 61 points to your credit score could save you thousands of dollars on a home loan. But those rates will go up. So before you apply, visit Scoremaster.com and add points to your credit score fast. Then you can maintain it. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say I have a personal story. So I had a credit card that I had canceled, and they never got the memo. Like they said they didn't get the memo, so it went on my credit as a non-paid an annual fee. And so my credit score dropped like 100-some-odd points. So I reached out to Scoremaster, worked to get that taken off. And now so what that cost me, I had 2% loan on my car when I had my RAV4, but when I had to get this new Toyota, they set my interest rate at 12%.
Holy
so
smokes.
Now I'm going in, now that my credit score is back up to where it was before, I'm going to refinance and get it back down to 2. So that's the money that it can, it's insane. Going from a 670 to a 750, what that saves you is unbelievable.
That's crazy.
And I use Scoremaster to get that stuff off.
Awesome. That's awesome. So, yeah, I mean, before you apply for that loan, that auto loan or anything, visit Scoremaster.com and add points to your credit score fast. Then you can maintain and protect your credit score with their 24/7 credit monitoring service and $1 million fraud insurance that they have. It only takes minutes to enroll. See your points, get more points, and qualify for the lowest loan rates. Visit Scoremaster.com/invest. You have to use that link in order to take advantage of this. That's Scoremaster.com/invest right there on your screen. Scoremaster.com/invest to get started today. Thanks, Scoremaster, for fixing David's credit.
Fantastic.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so this is kind of a fun story. A new survey shows that 43% of people admit to having financially cheated on their spouse. Now, what does that mean? That means that they have hid purchases from their spouse, they have opened accounts and not disclosed those things, or they have debts that they have not spoken about. That is within your partnership, right? Marriage, someone you actually, now this is not just your boyfriend and your girlfriend, you both live with your parents, you don't need to know, right? These are people who share finances. 43%, that's close to half. So we thought we'd share our stories. It is a fun story, of course, it's funny to talk about, but also it's a bit sad because, you know, the narrative that almost half of all divorces happen because of money fights. The number one cause of marital discord is money. I will remind you later that we have a Financial Freedom Academy to prevent this very thing. But first, I thought we'd turn the spotlight on Clayton and say, Clayton, what have you been hiding, darling?
Thank you, MacBook.
Christmas presents for your wife don't
count.
Yes,
Christmas presents for my wife. No, I have to say I've never really done this. There's stuff in the studio, right? Like we've got this really nice studio here, and there's lights and there's cameras and there's things.
Look at
and
that
I don't
ceiling.
Like.
Oh my
yeah,
gosh, so beautiful.
We got to fix this, David. So like, you know, I ordered lights and I order a camera or I, you know.
See that weight bench over there collecting dust?
Hey, hush. but like, you know.
He gets off camera and he goes and bench presses.
You know, things over here. And like, I don't send you a note about every like little contraption that I buy for the studio. But in the end, the way that we operate is that it goes through you anyway, because you're doing the spreadsheets and all of it anyway.
Okay. Right? So you do not have a secret credit card.
I don't have a secret credit card that I know of. No, I don't have a secret credit card. I have like the most recent one I got was through one of my crypto accounts, but you know about that.
Yeah,
and I just have that
passwords.
No, yeah, well,
that's true. And I just have that offshore account, but that's all. That's all I got. What about you?
Clayton does like he will open accounts sometimes and then pays them from our joint account. I was like, "What's an Apple Card? Where'd you get that?" And you're like, "Oh yeah, I have that." But then I see the statements anyway. So,
But there is times when you do the same thing that I do, like where I'll be like, "Oh, what's that box?" And it's like you've ordered, you know.
And I'm like, "You don't need to know."
It's like boots that you've ordered or something.
Don't concern
like,
yourself.
Yeah. So we do that with some of our like personal purchases that, you know, I guess like other couples would have to run it up the flagpole, you know, like.
Yeah, we don't check with each other purchases. I mean, up to a certain level, like I'm buying a car or something right. like that. But for the most part, it's for the kids or what have you. I actually did once try and hide from you that I had bought black knee-high boots that were very similar to my other knee-high boots. And then we went in because Clayton was working for Fox at the time. And I went to meet him for lunch and he happened to be doing an interview that day with Laura Lynn Jackson, the psychic to the stars. And I was off camera and I had just walked in and she started the reading and they were on the air and she said, "Your grandma's telling me something about your wife having new boots." And I had specifically been trying to hide those boots for him because they looked so similar to the other ones. And to the point where I had like taken the bag out to the trash myself so that he wouldn't see it. And I was outed by psychic on the air. So I will never do that again.
Let's be clear about this. She was outed by my grandmother who passed away like 20 years ago.
And so, they were on the air, and she was like, "What's this? Your grandmother's trying to tell me about your wife's new boots, like black knee-high boots." And I was like, "What?"
Yeah.
And he didn't know on the air what that was about. And she's like, "Does your wife have new boots?"
She hadn't even met my wife yet. Like, my wife was late, came into the studio, like, she was off camera in the hallway. And she'd never met my wife. She never knew anything. It's not like she ever posted this on social media, but Laura Lynn Jackson she's amazing. She's amazing, amazing, amazing.
Yeah, this was 6 years ago. And so it wasn't until after the segment that they ended and I was like, "I do have new boots." He goes, "You do?" I mean, they weren't even, I don't know why I was being cagey about
and
it.
And she was like, "Oh my," and she's like, "Your grandmother was laughing about these boots." She's laughing about it. And that was the type of personality my grandmother had. She had like a very like funny sense of humor. You know,
I guess. I never met said grandmother, but yes, she did out me for my sneaky purchase.
You know
so
what
I will never do that again.
is if I ever go and get fast food, I throw it in the trash, like eat my wrappers and stuff in the trash before I come in the house so that...
Oh.
I had a friend in Los Angeles. He was great. He was trying to impress like a new, you know, a person that he was dating, and he ordered Chinese food, but he ordered it and like prepared it all and like almost like he had made it at home, and then he took all of like the containers and like threw them out, and he's like, I invited you over for, I made, you know, some Chinese food and prepared it that way.
And she fell for it.
Yeah, I think she fell for it.
I actually did have a boyfriend who we had a joint account because we lived together, and he cheated on me with a girl who lived in Wisconsin. And then he was like, oh no, we separated, but we still had the account. And he's like, but I'm not going to see her. I'm not going to Wisconsin. And then in our joint account was a purchase at the Piggly Wiggly in Wisconsin. And I was like, if you're not in Wisconsin, why is this? Like, we had already separated, but used our joint card in Wisconsin. And he's like, oh, I sent her flowers. And I was like, that's better.
From the Piggly Wiggly?
From the Piggly Wiggly? Yeah. Like, how stupid do you think?
From our joint account.
Thanks. I wanted to send her flowers.
What a romantic.
He's like, we were on a break.
Yeah. No, we weren't on a break. We had a joint account and a house together, so... these are the kind of people that,
wow.
Yeah. That, well, anyway, I dated.
No, there is no hidden offshore bank account in the Cayman Islands. Okay. All right.
You wouldn't even know how to do that. Even if you wanted to hide money from me, because I'm the bean counter here.
I know how to make money and invest it, but I don't know how to like set up a bank account, all that kind of crazy stuff.
You know, when Clayton's trying to set something up, he's like, where's my passport? Do you have a PDF of this thing?
Do you have a copy of this thing?
He would not be capable of it. This job security for me.
That's what she thinks. I just decided on balance. Yeah. She's falling for my dumb act. I don't know where that thing is.
See, Amy Perkins, that happened to her too. Her husband used her joint account. You know, do you want me to curse him?
Jeez. She will.
Say the word.
Do it, her.
All right. I saw a bunch of people saying, no, not me, but my ex did. Well, that explains why you've got exes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't. Does the Piggly Wiggly even sell flowers? I've never been in one.
You should do some research, because I don't know. I was going to say, I'm going there on Valentine's Day, and if I don't find flowers, I'm going to be pissed.
I'm sure there's, you know, the Piggly Wiggly sounds like there's some excellently cut flowers. I'm sure they're probably like over in a corner, like covered covered in dust somewhere.
They've got a little garden center called the Figgly Wiggly.
Hope you like those flowers, Lara. Okay. We're going to go on to what's trending now. This is the top the piece of the show where we tell you what's been trending on the internet. Some of it we actually have touched upon, but we'll do it anyway. Fentanyl is trending because marijuana laced with the opioid fentanyl has caused dozens of overdoses centered in and around Connecticut. So fentanyl is an opioid that is highly addictive, a lot more than 1%. It should not be in marijuana. Once you take fentanyl and then come off of it, you will get extremely sick. And these people are experiencing that when they thought they were getting simple marijuana. How about you protect yourself and just stay away from that?
Well, we were talking about the book Dope Sick, which is now a Hulu show. David's watching it. You read the book. I want to watch the show,
watched
too.
I watched the whole thing.
But in the, well, we just had a news story today in our newsletter that said over 100,000. What was it?
100,000 deaths of drug overdoses, not specifically opioids, but drug overdose deaths
this year,
which is a 30% increase.
100,000.
Just out of curiosity, is that prescribed overdoses?
No. It doesn't say that it's even opioids. It's just drug overdoses. So it could really be anything. And I don't know if it shows this in the show or not, but opioids are sort of a gateway drug to heroin, because when you can no longer get these prescriptions, heroin fills that gap. And there is no, as far as I know, prescriptions to heroin. So
no, not that I'm aware of.
Dean Thomas says, what the crap? People are effing with my reefer now?
Yeah. So
when I lived in Indiana, there were some guys that came over and they had marijuana that had been soaked in formaldehyde and they were smoking that.
Jeez.
Why?
Yeah, and these then like going completely out of their mind. So it's like you should never take something natural like that has benefits and make it like dangerous, because that's all you're doing. You're just putting yourself in huge danger by messing with that stuff.
Gotta think this through, people.
All right, what else is trending?
Okay, hashtag lunar eclipse and beaver moon and blood moon are all trending because this morning the longest lunar eclipse in over 500 years happened in our orbit. And nice. Who doesn't get excited about that? This is an...
nice, beaver moon.
Yes, it was beautiful. And we'd love to see, you can tag us with any
pictures. Why is it called the beaver moon, by the way?
I'm not sure about that one. The blood moon, because it was closer to the sun. And yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
David, do you got anything on that one?
I don't.
Grover, what about you? Do you have any idea?
Okay. Hashtag Ghostbusters Afterlife is trending because the new Ghostbusters movie is out today. It was due out last year and they held it for the pandemic. It was written and directed by Jason Reitman, which is the son of the original director, Ivan Reitman. Critics say that it has very Stranger Things vibe to it, maybe because it stars Finn Wolfhard, the Stranger Things actor, the one on the left there. And the girl in the center, is her character is the granddaughter of Spengler. And so the plot line goes,
Egon.
She gets a bunch of his stuff and opens a portal into... it also stars Paul Rudd. It currently has a 63% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So yeah, what do you guys think? You going to go see it?
I'm not. I saw the previews and I was like, meh. But I do have an answer on the full moon.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
When you're ready.
Well, I mean, Ghostbusters is... The first Ghostbusters is probably... I'm going to say probably my favorite... Well, it's up there in my top five favorite movies same. Of all time. Ghostbusters, yeah, the original. Funniest movie ever. And so I'm just... And then Ghostbusters 2, I was super excited about when I was a kid, and it was just like a big letdown. Womp, womp. You know,
the song was good.
It was okay. And then that new Ghostbusters I made a few years ago.
The Bobby Brown song was not just okay.
Yeah, that was good.
Don't say that.
Okay. But then the one that... I don't know. I just... I'm going to... I wish it was great. I wish it was like some sort of... And I know that there's some... Maybe we'll see Bill Murray and some... I don't know. I don't want to ruin anything. I'm hearing about it. But so... I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted
too
about this.
Too hot to handle. Too cold to hold. Call the Ghostbusters and they're in control. Okay.
Right, real quick. November yes. Full Moon was called the Beaver Moon because it was either when beaver traps were set or when beavers were preparing for winter.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I hope it's the second thing. I don't like to Me think too. About people trapping beavers. And finally, Kevin McCarthy is trending because the California representative delayed a vote on the Build Back Better bill. We talked about that. He spoke on the House floor for over 8 hours and finished up around 5 a.m.
He was really upset. He's really upset. He's selectively upset about this. I love it. You know?
Did you know that Kevin McCarthy is the muse for the Kevin Spacey character on House of Cards?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
I should ask my friend who was the executive producer House of Cards if that's true or not.
I'm fairly certain that that's true. But it's not trending today. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Please check out morninginvest.com if you're not already subscribed to the newsletter. And the next one will hit your inbox on Monday with a bang.
That's right. Have a great weekend, everyone. Much love to all of you, and we'll see you back here next week.